Years ago, Alex Haley's Roots helped us understand the origins of the slave trade, and origins are important. That's why God recorded the beginnings of human history in the book of Genesis. Here we find out where we came from as members of the nations of the world. Today, a wrap-up on how everybody can trace their roots back to the sons of Noah. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is God and the Nations, and today Dr. Lutzer is speaking on the origin of the nations, listing four key conclusions. First, the unity of the nations.
Secondly, there is a tendency of nations to follow the character trait of their ancestors. There's a tendency of nations to follow the character traits of their ancestors. We can see this in the case of Ham. Now, Ham had a moral weakness, evidently, and that moral weakness turned out to be a curse, the curse of the fathers, sometimes to the third and fourth generations, and it was translated as a curse in the life of his youngest son, Canaan, as we explained. And the Canaanites were unbelievably perverse morally. In fact, archaeologists who have unearthed things in Canaan say that the kinds of perversion practiced in Canaan are hardly even known in cultures today and their perversions. And we can see this also in Nimrod. This is in the 10th chapter of Genesis. You can read it on your own. Nimrod, the Bible says, was a mighty hunter. He was a mighty warrior. And what does he do? He begins the city of Nineveh, and you have the Assyrians beginning, who were mighty warriors, oftentimes cruel. Now, I have to say this very, very hurriedly. Those are the ancient Assyrians. Because we have Assyrians here at Moody Church. We have one on the pastoral staff, a very wonderful man. We have ushers who are Assyrians. And you know that we have whole families that are Assyrians. And one evening I had the privilege of participating in a Bible study in the home of some of our Assyrians. And I want you to know today that they not only are beautiful people, but they are hospitable and gracious and have awesome Assyrian tea that they served to me. But now what I'd like us to do is to simply look at some of the traits of the nations, and I'm smart enough to not tell you which nation these traits belong to. I said to myself when someone in the church was doing a little bit of research for me, I wondered what nation is the most deceitful. And I discovered not to even begin to go there, because there are many nations in which deceit is simply a part of their culture. Early in life, children are told and explained and obviously have before them the model of lying and cheating and using people, and the only rule really is don't get caught. All nations have that. Some do it superbly. Deceit. But let's look at some of the other characteristics that sociologists have come up with. Some are inscrutable. Obviously, these characteristics can apply to any nation. Some are ruthless in achievement of objectives. Some are fanatically nationalistic and prideful, and whole wars have been fought and blood has been shed by the hundreds of thousands because of fanatical nationalism. Some are greedy for wealth and power. These, as you might have already caught on, are the negative characteristics. Ruthlessness hidden behind a facade of politeness. Militaristic, cruel, but obedient to authority. Illogical, will pursue incompatible opinions to absurd ends. How do you like to do business with a nation like that? Given to sensuality without restraint. These are some of the characteristics. And then you find some positive characteristics. An aptitude for the arts, for music, for art, for sculpturing. Some especially excel in that. Some have practical and technical bents. They are the inventors. Some have philosophical minds and become great thinkers. Some nations are more peace-loving. Some emphasize physical strength. But here's the point I want to make. You and I, because of marriage, because of intermarriage, because of one nation going out of existence and another coming into existence, you and I are a very interesting confluence of genes. And I want you to know today that God not only knows about that, but made us that way, and it is His intention to take the negative traits that we would have naturally, the negative traits that would come to us because of our culture, because of our heritage, because of our parents, because of our background. And what God does is He overcomes those negative traits and begins to build in us the positive traits of the fullness of the Spirit and love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness, and to take some of the strengths of our particular culture and to use those strengths for His honor and His glory. That's what God does in what we call salvation. Let me give you a third observation. Without God's intervention, all people would be completely lost. All people would be completely lost. When you look at the nations, as I've already mentioned, always there is entropy, a going to randomness and to paganism. It's everywhere. Just think for a moment. Universal paganism and wickedness upon the earth, so great that God could not stand it, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah has three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, as we noticed. From them, all the families of the earth are scattered. And what do we have by the time we get to the end of Genesis chapter 11? Universal wickedness, paganism, and idolatry, rampant in the whole earth. And what does God do? He sovereignly chooses. He chooses Abraham. Abraham, of course, a Shemite, and it's from Abraham that all the families of the earth are going to be blessed, because that's where Jesus is going to come. And so God intervenes, and He chooses Abraham out of idolatry and says, Abraham, I'm introducing myself to you because you would not go looking for me. I am coming looking for you, and I'm going to save you, and I'm going to make you the father of a great nation. Here you have Canaanites, and we spoke about the curse of the Canaanites. And in the midst of that awful curse and that evil that the Canaanites committed, here you have a prostitute by the name of Rahab who believes in Jehovah. She is saved by the grace of God and even makes it into the list in Hebrew chapter 11, where you have all of the heroes of faith. She's listed there. And God's grace was extended to other Canaanites as well, who came to know Jehovah and to trust Jehovah God. So what you always see is this universal wickedness, but God is always drawing out. God is always intervening. But I want you to know today that without God's intervention, if we were left to ourselves, we would become idolaters, self-serving, and we would not come to know the Lord. And do you know that it's the same today? I can take you to families where there are no Christians on either side in the family. Grandparents who perhaps were into occultism. Grandparents who had no time for God. And then parents who equally had no time for God. And in the midst of a family like that, God will choose a young woman. And she will get saved, and through her, blessing will come to others, and her family will never understand it. Or God will choose a young man. I know a young man who's a pastor today who comes from a thoroughly anti-Christian family, and he's the only one saved in his family, and God reached down and saved him out. Why? Because if God did not rescue us from our sin, we would remain in it. That's the hope of the gospel. And you see, the reason that we share the gospel of Jesus Christ is we know that God's means of rescuing people is to have them understand Jesus Christ and then use that information to cause the Holy Spirit of God to work in their hearts to know that God is in the rescuing business and saves sinners, even big ones. And that's why we have evangelism explosion. Because we know that God's purposes in this era are all focused on Jesus. There's a fourth and final observation. And that is that in the end, representatives will be in heaven from all the different families of the earth. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, that there will be members that Jesus purchased from every tribe, from every language, from every people, from every nation, and they all will be there. What is God doing today? God is going to the nations of the earth, and we are going to the nations of the earth, inviting men and women to believe on Jesus, so that there will be more tongues to give glory to God, and that that representative group, that we will have a part in it, because we are part of God's plan to rescue people from their sin through Jesus. I simply conclude today with this thought. If you are here today as a Christian, I want you to know, if you know anything about history, that you are an exception. You're an exception. Somebody hearing that on the radio or on the internet says, oh yeah, that's the problem with you Christians. You are so proud. You think that you're so special. I want you to know today that if you're thinking that, you have the opposite response to what you should have. If we are the exceptions, it is all because of God's grace, His undeserved grace that saved us out of millions and millions who do not know the Savior. In future messages, we will learn that God has two purposes. He has a purpose for the unconverted, and He has a purpose for the converted. And both of them converge in His matchless grace and glory. How could I preach a message like this without, in the end, inviting you to believe in Jesus, to trust you, especially if you think of yourself as marginalized or rejected because you belong to this tribe, this nation, this culture, this particular background? No matter who you are, the Bible says, if there's a desire in your heart to respond to Jesus and be forgiven and to be reconciled to God, you can be a part of that eternal company. History is going somewhere, and next time we'll learn that God is guiding it in the process. Well, yes, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I do need to tell you that history is going somewhere. And of course, if we had more time, we could discuss what all that means in detail, but you continue to listen to this series because it will help you understand God's role in history. But now let me talk about you for a moment. As you notice, as you've been listening, I ended by challenging you to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. I refer to an exception. Well, the way we become an exception to the general rule is to respond to God's grace. Where you are, repent of your sins, believe on Jesus, and the assurance is that you will be saved.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer has now concluded The Origin of the Nations, the first in his 6-part series on God and the nations. Tomorrow, join us as we learn about God's providence among the nations. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church. Our current series is available on CD, cassette, or MP3. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. When you call, ask about God and the nations. For a great adventure, join Dr. Lutzer in the steps of Luther and the Reformers this June in Europe. For information, go to our website at runningtowin.org or call 1-888-771-8717. Don't forget, Running to Win is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's edition of Running to Win.